Football Spark.
You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Thursday morning out there, Western and Northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to be along for the next hour. We get into all kinds of different stuff. Did you see the NFL yesterday?
No.
They have upset a former Oklahoma running back with the two-tiered system of COVID-19 protocols. Not necessarily even the NFL, the NFLPA, the Players Association. Joe Mixon not happy with the two-tiered system of protocols that are going to be allowed starting in the mini camps through the training camp and into the season. Basically, if you take the shots and get vaccinated, you can do whatever you want. If you don't, if you choose not to, you can't do anything. You're on the same protocol schedule as you were last year. And he is none too happy about it. So we'll kind of talk about that, what the different ideas on that are. U.S. Open, it's being delayed by the marine layer.
Oh, the marine layer.
Most of us would consider that fog. But I was actually just reading an article explaining the differences in the marine layer and fog and what's fog, what's marine layer. Anyway, it's very similar. Maybe just a little bit different. I think at the end of the day, the percentage of humidity reading makes it fog. Anyhow.
You know what I'm going to do?
It was pretty interesting.
I'm going to reach out to California family and ask them, do you know what marine layer
Southern
is?
Southern California family?
Yeah.
Yeah,
do they know what layer is?
Honestly, when you watch the regular tournament at Torrey Pines, they mention the marine layer all the time. Because San Diego, literally the only chance you have at getting some sort of delay is the marine layer. Because the weather is so perfect in San Diego that you don't really have much risk outside of early morning the marine layer and it not burning off. So you hear this a lot when you watch that tournament. Anyhow, so that's happening. It's delayed the tee times there at the U.S. Open. We'll talk a little bit of U.S. Open. Could be some pretty good irony at the end of the week if Bryson DeChambeau was able to go on and defend his title. I'll tell you why there.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you what your dream, if you could fast forward to Sunday and the final three pairings, who would you want in those pairings? Either for your enjoyment, for headlines, for ratings, whatever it might be. Which three pairings, six guys, do you want to see? And who plays with who and all that kind of stuff? Our man Quade Cummins is making his debut as a professional golfer. As we speak, teeing off. He just teed off 4 minutes ago. Up at Wichita at Crestview in the Corn Ferry Tour. He Monday qualified with a 65, 7 under 65. Problem for Quade is that's not the story of Monday's qualifier. See if you've heard about the fight that ensued on the golf course there on Monday. Then the NBA playoffs, crazy stuff is happening. I should be enjoying a burrito right now on the air from Jared. Instead, I'm going to lose a burrito because of the ridiculousness that is the Philadelphia 76ers. How surprised are you with what happened in Utah last night without Kawhi and the Clippers? And I'll tell you what. It's been a tough night. Been a tough back-to-back nights for Thunder fan. Seeing former Thunder darlings dominate NBA playoff games. A pair in each game in the last two nights. The woke crowd has gotten to Charles Barkley. He's fed up. He may be done with Inside the NBA, which really is terrible because it's about the best post-game show of all time. And then also, kind of some of the younger guys, not the baby young guys with Trey or Luka, more the youngish. You know, been in the league 4, 5, 6, 7 years. trying to figure out a way to grab that torch from the LeBrons and maybe even the KDs that we've been so accustomed to over the past decade. These other guys that are, you know, half that age or whatever, half that time in the league, and they're struggling to do it. Case in point, Ben Simmons and Giannis Antetokounmpo. So we'll talk about that when with regards to the NBA playoffs. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
Just fine.
Just fine. Not great.
Not great.
Just fine.
Not great. Not.
It's Thursday. We're on the back end of the week.
You know, here's the deal. Pride gets in the way. And here's the deal. I'm not going to admit I'm wrong. And you know what? You know how I can tell I'm not necessarily wrong? Because you're not even gloating yet. Even you can't believe what happened last night and how fortunate you are to going to be able to win this bet for the dadgum burrito. I mean, it's like you have this little Cheshire cat, you know what kind of grin on your face.
Come on. I knew it would be I had a feeling it could be competitive, but in the way that we've gotten to this point in this Sixers-Hawks series I'll be honest. Nobody expected this.
I've got some numbers for you here concerning last night's game.
Okay.
So Philadelphia led by as many as 26 at one point. They were up 25 points with 3:15 left in the third quarter. In the last 25 seasons of Philadelphia 76ers basketball, going into last night, they were 165-0 when leading by 25 points at any point in any game.
And this is even during the
regular season, playoff. I mean,
what, 4-year tanking span that they went through?
Yes, the process. Even in the process. Now, I'm guessing there wasn't a whole bunch of times that they were up 25 during the process.
Point. That's a good point.
But when they did they won.
You would think even if they were up that much during the process, that would be a time when they would lose a big lead like that.
No. They were able to win all of them. 25 years. That dates us back to what? 1996?
25 years, yes.
So since 1996, we're talking about right there about AI time, about the time he got there in that vicinity. Matter of fact, it might have been his rookie year. So think about that. They haven't not lost a game in which they led by 25 points at any point in that game since AI's era in Philly started. And last night, they do it in Game 5 at home of an Eastern Conference semifinal. Listen, we can give the Hawks credit, and we should. Trey was great. He got a bunch of help off the bench. If you look at the plus minuses in this game, every Hawks starter is a minus.
Yeah.
Everybody off the bench is a plus except for Tony Snell, who only played 3 minutes. Lou Williams, plus 31 in his 23 minutes, 7 of 11, 15 points. Trey had 39. Was great from the free throw line. You know, not quite as efficient as we've seen him. But it's Philly's. It's all on Philly, right? I mean,
how you don't close that out is beyond me.
So
how
do you not protect
that lead and close it out that late in the game?
They're the number one seed in the East.
Yeah.
And they blow a 25-point lead with 3:15 left in the third quarter. Atlanta scored 51 points in the last 15 minutes. That's like a 170 clip.
I mean, we all knew Philadelphia was good, but did we feel like, you know, they're there by the number one seed by virtue of a compact season? And are they fool's gold? I mean, did we really believe that they're the number one seed? Everyone thought, well, I come out of the East, it's the Nets and everybody else. But then that's why maybe we shouldn't be so shocked that the number one seed is struggling right now.
Well, I think the thing is, and we mentioned the process of becoming a team, and now they feel, but don't these guys feel like it's there? It's time for them to get going,
right?
I mean, you've got Embiid, who might have been the MVP if he'd have played enough games, as great as he was, and you've got, you know, Tobias Harris was good all year long, bunch of different guys off the bench. Dwight Howard was pretty good. Milton was pretty good. Tybal was good. And then, but the problem is, they haven't quite been there. And the truth of it is, their second best player is a negative. And I hate to say that because of all the things he can do, but Ben Simmons is a negative because he won't and can't shoot. And that puts so much pressure on everybody else to perform. And if they don't, if you get a 2 of 11 from Tobias Harris, then the door swings open for a crazy Atlanta comeback. Because the guy with the ball in his hands, you can't trust him. He won't shoot. And he hasn't ever gotten any better to shoot. And he was 4 of 14 from the free throw line. That just can't happen. If you're Ben Simmons has got to take a look in the mirror and figure it out. Otherwise, if you're Philly, I mean, think about all the different trades you've heard for Ben Simmons over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Some of them seem ridiculous because of the talent that he does possess, but at some point, I think this is something Philly's going to have to take a look at. Because right now, Ben Simmons is a problem for them. And it feels like they've got, I mean, with Curry knocking down 7 threes, Seth, that is, not even Steph. Mm-hmm. Just anything from Ben Simmons and you win the game. And there's a lot to like about what he does. He's a great defender. He can defend so many positions because of his size. But, man, if you're not willing to take shots and you can't make them, that's a huge problem, especially with the way that the league is right now. 15 years ago, I don't know that we were bothered by Ben Simmons this much because of all the other stuff he could do. But right now, when shooting is such a premium at every position on the floor, it's going to be hard for Philly to reach their potential if Ben Simmons can't reach his.
Yeah, if Embiid, yeah, I'm right there with you. Simmons has. I guess I've never really bought into the hype of Simmons when he came out of LSU into the league, and in a weird way I feel kind of good about myself because I never bought into it because you've got to be able to shoot in this league, right?
Yeah, that's the problem. He does everything else at a plus level, defends, rebounds, pass, everything, but he can't shoot. And right now,
I mean, it's like Andre Roberson, right?
Yeah, well, he's way the hell better than that.
But you see my point, though?
Yes, yes. Yeah, I mean, Andre's a poor man. But here's the problem, though. Roberson was able to score some points as a decoy because he had Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook on his team. Mm-hmm. Ben Simmons is one of those two for Philly. So he can't hide. There's nowhere to hide him because he's got to be one of the guys that propels this team forward. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's a star, not a role player. But he can't shoot, and he's not willing to shoot. That's the
you've got to shoot in this league. Why be on the court if you're not going to shoot?
In the postseason so far, just take a guess what he's shooting from the free throw line. In 10 games so far this postseason,
25%,
33%. That is so brutal. And here's going to be the problem. And another guy that we saw two nights ago, he's got the same problem. Is when you start playing differently and less aggressive when you're scared to go to the free throw line. Him and Giannis have the same problem. And that's knocking down shots. And then so at least Simmons doesn't settle for bad ones. Only taking four shots is unacceptable. He cannot play like that. But he's so scared to go, and he went to a bunch last night, 4 of 14. But that takes away your aggressiveness. You know, Giannis was bodied up by a one-legged James Harden the other night down the stretch, and he did a turnaround fadeaway because he's scared to death to go to the bucket, get fouled, and miss free throws.
Right.
And those two guys specifically, it ought to start being their time to be kind of the, not the faces of the league necessarily, but the teams of the league. It's time that you can't use the, hey, we're still young excuse. You've been in the league since 2016, man. This is number six. And been in the playoffs multiple times. Those guys have got to figure out a way to step up. Now let's go to the other game.
Well, I was going to go to the other side real quick about Atlanta.
Yeah.
Just real quick, we keep talking about Atlanta's one player away from being really, really good. Are they?
Listen, man, I understand what they're doing. And it's but these give Atlanta credit, but really and truly the fault is Philly's.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And so I would say, and so that means to me, yeah, they are.
So that question's still there.
They need
one more,
one or
piece.
Two different guys. Yeah, but I mean, I think they're probably better than people thought for sure. I don't know how many thought they'd get by New York, to be quite honest, with the way the Knicks were, and they just blew them away. And you know, the one thing about you got to give them all kinds of credit, and Trey is a big part of this. You know, the door was swung open a little bit by Philly, but they went ahead and took advantage. They kept on playing. They didn't just, you know, spool it up and think, okay, we got to win game six to get back here to game seven. They kept on fighting, kept on playing, and the next thing you know, you look up and they outscore Philly 40-19 in the fourth quarter and come back and win.
You're the GM of the Hawks. Trae Young comes to you and says, I need a running mate. Realistically, who do you go after? Do you try to draft, or do you go to the free agent market, or do you try to trade for somebody to help them out?
Man, that's really interesting because you start to think, okay, what do they need? You know, Collins is fantastic.
Because Trae can't score close to 40 points every night.
No. You know, Capella, maybe you've got somebody there. I don't know. It just feels like you never can have enough of those either big guards or wings that could shoot. You know, I think Nate McMillan's done a great job of making that team buy in defensively more than they ever did to start the season. And so it's hard to say because the thing about Trae is he's going to be so ball dominant that you've got to have somebody that's willing to not to play without the ball in their hands. And so, you know, that leads you back to like 3-and-D guys. Guys who can shoot, you know. How about a Seth Curry on this team?
Mm.
Just a knockdown shoot. You know what I'm saying? But I think
I got a fun one.
I think you also have to have an eye on the defensive end as well because you've got to figure out a way to kind of hide Trae defensively just because he's so slight.
Yeah. I got a fun one. No, just bear with me here. Because this guy has always seemed like every time trade rumors pop up, his name's always in the mix. What about Buddy Hield?
That would kind of, yeah.
There's already rumors that the Clippers are looking at him.
If he can defend well enough. I mean, that's what you're looking for. Just complementary pieces mm-hmm. that can shoot. Yeah, I think that might make some sense.
Wouldn't that be fun, though?
Buddy and Trae.
Be a lot of Atlanta jerseys sold in Oklahoma.
Yeah, for this state, I think that would be a lot of fun.
But in all seriousness, because he's shown that he can last in this league, Buddy Hield, that is. It's just, I think he's just a good team away from really elevating.
Yeah, it's so hard to tell because Sacramento is just one of those places
dumpster.
You don't want to go.
You don't want to go there, but he's still very productive just on a bad mm-hmm. team.
And when you look, as much as maybe he hasn't been the – you know, the senior year at OU, Buddy Hield, when you look at what he's done in his short career, mm-hmm. he's on a pace that's even above yeah. Steph Curry as far as making threes.
It feels like he could be in the league a long time.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
And he's already slightly adjusted his game to that level. And I'm rooting for the guy to get on a good on a contender, and then let's see what he can do.
I know it's the shooting goes night by night, but when you look at the two shooting guards for Atlanta last night with Bogdanović and Herter, they go 3 of 16, 0 of 8 from 3, score 6 points. So that's obvious upgrade spot, and that just so happens to be kind of what Buddy does mm-hmm. as a shooting guard. So, yeah, somebody like that for sure. You know, Lou Williams off the bench was the guy, but my God, at some point he's done.
Right.
I mean, eventually – what is he, 30? He's 34. Golly, it seems like he's older than that. But he's been in the league since 2005. You know who drafted him, ironically?
Who drafted who?
Lou Williams.
Lou Williams? No. Who?
Philly.
Philly.
way back in the second round. Yeah. So, yeah, that would make sense. I mean, he's signed. So, you know, what do you have to give up to get him? If it's Collins, I don't think you want to do that because of the way Collins fits. But I also think he may be coming to the end of his deal.
But what's the knock on Sacramento?
It's a horrible franchise.
It's a horrible franchise. So they're dumb enough to make it, you know,
oh, yeah.
to take less.
Oh, heck yeah.
To give up Buddy. Thinking that it's an advantage for them.
They're kind of the fleecing, the ones you want to fleece.
Yeah.
That other game with the Clippers. Listen, I love to make fun of playoff P. But it's hard to do that today without Kawhi Leonard, and it sounds like that may be the case for the rest of the playoffs. There were reports out there yesterday afternoon that the Clippers actually fear that Kawhi's injury is an ACL and may lead to have to shut him down. George was 12 of 22, scored 37, grabbed 16 rebounds, 5 assists. He's only the second player this playoff season to have a 35, 10, and 5 game, joining Kevin Durant. Reggie Jackson was awesome. As much as you hate to see it if you're a Thunder fan with the way it ended, his time ended here, he was great. And also Marcus Morris. And here's the truth of it. Marcus Morris is going to get you 20 on about 15 shots every game, the Clippers are going to be hard to beat even without Kawhi Leonard. And Paul George stepped up last night, and one of those games that maybe turns perception around for him as a playoff player, because to this point he hadn't really had kind of a signature game like he was able to figure out last night.
No, he hasn't had that playoff signature game since Indiana. And now, I don't know if last night was it, because we still need to see them advance, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if he blows it in the next two, then this one goes away.
If he comes out and he playoff P becomes playoff puke, then again, that reputation is still there. As, you know, he's not playoff P again. But if he comes out and he does what he did last night and closes this thing out, preferably in six, then, yeah, doing it without Kawhi is big. It's absolutely big, and it's nice that he had help too.
Yeah,
if he didn't have help to take that pressure off, I mean, you got, like you said, Morris with 25, Jackson with 22, Mann with 13 points. When he's getting that relief, then that, I think, that propels him. You know, knowing like I can, you know, gives him more confidence out there.
Well, it's just the truth. I mean, we all want to sit here and dog whoever it is. Durant would be the one that pops to mind. Oh, he can't do it by himself. Well, the truth is, even two nights ago, he didn't do it by himself with 49, 17, and 10. He still had to have 27 from Jeff Green, or, you know, 17 from Blake. Same way with Paul George last night. I mean, you can't literally do it by yourself. You've got to have contributions from everybody else. But
we are so...
There's no doubt he was the catalyst to the whole thing.
We're so programmed now that you can't win the league without a dominant duo or trio, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that's been the theme this week, is maybe not. Maybe that's not what you need. Maybe you can be a superstar on a team with other guys. Kevin Durant did it, and you mentioned the help.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned the help with Paul George. Trae Young's doing it. And maybe we are coming full circle with this.
Well, I think what it tells you, I'm not convinced that George and Trae are what we're talking about here. But I don't think there's any doubt that Kevin Durant can do it.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, as far as being the best player out there. And the one thing that he specifically, and I think Paul George is doing it as well. Trey's always been this way. But those two guys specifically in this conversation, you know what they're better at now than they were earlier in their careers? And that's making other guys around them better.
Yeah.
Durant has gotten so much better at distributing the ball at the right time, making the right play, and his handles have gotten better. You know, that was the way to beat him. I mean, think about this. In that Clippers series back in 2014, they had Chris Paul on him because Chris Paul could steal it away from him, you know, even in the post.
Yeah.
He had a foot on a guy, and he, you know, that bugged him. That doesn't happen anymore. And so, and I think, you know, Paul George a lot of times is playing point guard, even with Kawhi out there here in the last couple of games of this series. You know, the assist numbers aren't necessarily high, but he's making the right plays and getting him, you know, other guys into the flow of the game. So kudos to both of those guys. Hey, Thunder fan, how do you like this? The Nets, they had that 49, 17 and 10 from KD, 27 from Jeff Green on 7 of 8. George had 37, Jackson 22. What do all those guys have to do have in common?
Yeah, they once donned the Thunder uniform.
Yeah. Does it kind of hurt your feelings, or does it make you think, you know what? Three of those four guys, Sam Presti drafted.
Exactly.
Now we have a chance to do it again.
Exactly. Maybe I'm a little too optimistic and the glass is too full for me, but I think that's why the motto now in OKC and in Thunderland is, in Sam we trust, because we trust this coming draft. He knows what he's doing.
And I know that people are going to go off the ledge if next Tuesday doesn't work like we're hoping. If it ends up that the Thunder have the 7th and the 18th pick. But I would, and you know, it's funny how the failures show up when you start talking about, well, Presti drafts great in the top five, but well, he hasn't really been very good after that. Well, are we sure? I mean, what's a hit rate? Because love him or hate him, and maybe he never quite got to as good as we thought, but Steven Adams is a good player to be drafted after the 10th pick.
Yeah.
Obviously, Reggie Jackson in the 20s was great. Surge in the 20s is great. Great picks. Great picks. You know, I think you can make the argument with before he got hurt, Andre Robertson for the 28th pick or whatever it was a pretty good player.
At his peak? Best defender in the league.
I mean, where you're going. I mean, look at the history of that pick, and he's going to be one of the better players there.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I'm, you know. So let's just not all jump off the ledge if it doesn't go quite right. Yeah. Now, did you see Chuck is going to be gone?
I briefly saw that. Yeah, he quit. Did he just quit? You say I'm out?
No. 2 years. Oh, here you go. Sabonis. I mean, Presti drafted Sabonis in that trade.
This is true.
He's pretty good. He wasn't, you know, the argument's going to be, well, he wasn't used right here. Well, he's only here for 1 year. And with the team that he was on, that was the role that needed to be filled. I'm not convinced that he wouldn't have been a different player moving forward if he had got his chance. You know what I'm saying? That was just where he was at that time with the teammates around him. Yeah. There's more good than bad, even with those later picks. But all anybody wants to talk about is Mitch McGarry or Perry Jones or Josh Huestis.
Right.
Nobody ever mentions Reggie Jackson or Serge.
Right. The misses they stand out more than the hits. But there have been a lot of...
It depends on how you want to look at it. Yeah, if you want to look at it negatively, sure.
Well, look at the world we live in.
Oh, sure.
Everything's looked at negatively.
So Chuck is basically saying they're being told behind the scenes, you know, criticized for jokes they might be making and this and that, and he's fed up, and he's going to give it 2 more years and be done. That'd be so sad.
That, like, totally done or done with the show?
Done with the show. He's out.
Yeah, a lot of people would stop watching. You know what I mean?
You know what you'd see if he wasn't there?
Those guys were the reason. I mean, back, you know, obviously Thunder playoff days and the deep runs. You know, game's over, typical fan, turn off the TV, go to bed or go on. I keep it on and see their reaction. Watch them break it down.
You wanted to know what they had to say.
Yeah.
But you know what's going to happen without him?
It's going to get boring.
Shaq.
Yeah, who's Shaq going to spar with?
You realize Shaq's not really that good.
He can go sell pizza.
Shaq's really not that good at it. He's not really that funny if he's not playing off Chuck.
Go to Papa John's.
I mean, I'm not going to tell him that to his face, but...
Yeah, good luck.
Turns out he's not as good as we think he is right now.
But I'm glad he's saying what he's saying about...
Maybe it'll get it to change, and then we won't have to see Chuck go away.
Yeah.
Bad news.
What's that?
Another 15-minute delay at the U.S. Open. Play is now set to begin at 9:45 Central, 10 minutes away.
Marine layer
is not letting up. The sun needs to burn the marine layer off so we can watch. Hey, you know what, though? I got a little good news for you about this.
It means we're going to see late-night golf, or?
Well... I think the coverage is supposed to start at 11 on the Golf Channel.
Okay.
So this is just cutting into the Peacock's time.
Ah,
if you don't
true.
Have Peacock streaming, you're not missing anything.
That's right.
That's good news. All right. I mentioned it'd be ironic if Bryson was able to win.
By the way, I'm really glad we went almost a full 35 minutes of talking NBA, and we didn't talk about the crybaby who can't help but insert his opinion about something because he's currently not playing right now.
LBJ.
Yeah.
I don't care about LeBron.
Moving on.
I think
let's not talk about it.
I actually think he has some decently valid points with the injuries.
No, he just can't help himself but try to get attention on himself.
That's probably true too, but you know, he could have, you know, he didn't have to say, "Well, I told him."
There it is. See?
I told him.
See, I'm smart. Guys, never mind. Let's go on.
What were we going to say?
He's a liar. He's an absolute liar. Do you see that thread on Twitter that just showcased every time he's been caught in a lie?
Nobody cares, though.
Because here
you
go.
New York Times Sports, Mark Stein. LeBron James just dunk on the NBA with the schedule critique. See, he gets protected.
Yeah.
No one's going to go back. Mark Stein isn't going to go back and look at all the times that he was wrong. All he wants to do is tell you about this. And that's the problem with a lot of media, not just in sports.
Yep.
Anyhow.
All
right, U.S. Open. Bryson. Trying to defend his title. You know the last guy to defend a U.S. Open title?
I do not.
Brooks.
Oh.
Brooks Koepka. Before that, it was Curtis Strange back in like 88 and 89. Before Brooks was able to do it a couple years ago. How ironic would that be? You know what would be even more fun? And this can't happen, obviously, because Bryson's the winner from last year. But you know what would be a blast? And what's so much fun about the Masters, just another thing that nobody thinks about, is the awkwardness of when, you know, Tiger has to put the jacket on Phil, or Phil has to put the jacket on Tiger.
Oh, yeah.
How much fun would it be if, say, Brooks had to put the jacket on Bryson? Would he, I mean, does he show up to the ceremony? God, that would be fun.
That would be fun. That would be fun.
LeBron's a crybaby from the text line. Yeah. Well, every play in the league, playing the same amount of games. But I do think that it contributes to these injuries. Or it's certainly the easiest thing to point at.
Be that as it may.
I mean, there's eight guys that were on the NBA team that have gotten hurt.
Okay. If he truly said something at the beginning of the year, that this is what was going to happen, and they didn't listen to me. Guess what? The NBA typically listens to you, LeBron.
Yeah, but here's the thing about this year, though. You're right about that.
This is why I think he's a liar. You didn't say anything to
anybody. Oh, he did. Yes, he did. He was out there before the season started saying we should wait.
Did he talk to Adam Silver directly?
Oh, he doesn't. You know he does. Because of how long it went in the bubble. No, he was out in front of this. As much as I hate to defend him, he was out in front of this saying,
all right,
we need to wait till like February to give everybody time to heal, especially the bubble teams. And look who are the ones that are having the injuries. It's not Atlanta. It's not the Knicks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's the teams that went through the longest in the bubble. You know, Anthony Davis, all the way to the end, bubble. You know, Denver with Jamal Murray, they were toward the Western Conference Finals. You know, Kawhi and Paul George, or Kawhi in the second round. All these guys that are getting hurt now were the ones that were in that bubble the longest and had the least amount of time to recover. Having said that, the league isn't going to listen to him on this. What wasn't going to start with? You know why? Money.
Well, of course.
It was all the money they lost last year. And so we're seeing it in every sport. And it is the health of players be damned. We have got to recover the money we lost because of COVID. And that's just what's going to be happening
right
now.
Well, he wasn't crying when he was going up an injury-riddled Miami team last year.
Well, no. Most guys with the injuries are already injury prone, not like it's their first injury. That's a decent point, too. Outside of, I mean, has Kawhi been hurt?
I feel like he has.
Maybe, but he played through stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like pulled muscles or what have you. I mean, Anthony Davis, I mean, the, what did Barkley call him? Street clothes.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's always hurt. That's for sure the case. I think there's some merit to it, but the problem with LeBron, and like I said, he was out in front of this, but he quieted down, and I guarantee you, if he was still playing, he wouldn't be griping about it. He would be going, another chance to win the title.
That's my biggest gripe.
Yeah.
He's only griping about it because he's not playing anymore. He's not playing. Spotlight's not on him. He has to inject stuff every once in a while to make sure people are still talking about him.
All right, enough LeBron.
Okay. Let's go back to the U.S. Open. Space Jam 2 is going to suck. Go on.
I'm not watching it.
Well, no.
What is your dream final three? Final three.
Now, there's
pairings.
One obvious pick, right? There's one obvious answer here, right?
Oh, I think so.
Bryson, Brooks, and Phil.
No, it's just two, though.
What are you talking about?
There's three groups of two.
Three groups of two.
On the weekend.
Well, Bryson, Brooks.
Okay.
Can I mix and match?
Yeah, you can put them together however you want to.
Brooks and Phil.
So you want Brooks to play with Phil, not with Bryson.
Oh, I thought you said I can – three hypothetical. I mean, three
– No.
I can't keep them all together. I have to keep them separate. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Three groups on Sunday.
Well, Bryson.
Like the last three teeing off.
Well, DeChambeau and Koepka. That's number one, right?
Oh, I think so.
Hmm. Man, the other two are going to be – I mean, that's like the only one I can think of right now.
By the way,
what about you? What's one of yours?
DJ and Rom.
Yeah? That'd be real fun.
Yeah.
I mean the Koepka, the DeChambeau thing is fun for the off-the-course talk, you know, that's been going on. But DJ and Ron would be good for the on the course, the straight up competition of it all.
And maybe some off course stuff too that nobody knows about.
Well, maybe that too. I think maybe now three people know.
Maybe that too. So I
just now remembered that conversation. Okay.
And probably not. I think I would have said this without him winning. I mean the obvious other one, but the problem is only one guy is in there would be like Tiger and Phil that one last
sure.
time.
Yeah.
But I do think that the allure of Phil, he's been the runner-up in the U.S. Open six times. Mm-hmm. That's the most of any player in any major to never win it. And so the drama of that back at his home, in his hometown, where he grew up playing, I mean, that would be cool if he wouldn't have won the PGA. But since he did, then that ratchets it up even more. Now, who would play with him? Gosh.
Yeah, so that's where I'm going to hang up. Who would I like to see, right? This is what we're asking, right?
Yeah.
Man, it'd be really fun if oh, goodness. I don't know.
Trying to think. Okay. I mean, would you lean toward, you know, somebody trying to win their first major? You know,
well, like Phil and Rory. Would that be fun?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
that'd be fun.
Rory's just fun anyway.
Yeah,
I was thinking like Justin Thomas or Xander or one of those guys.
Yeah,
I mean Thomas is one, but you know Xander, him and Xander and Phil are buds, big time buds. But I think it would be – Rory does get eyeballs. There's no doubt about that. For me, just as golf fan, not – I think it would kind of be cool to see, you know, like Lee Westwood, who's never won one, been out there forever, been a really, really good player. You know, kind of the old guy group along with Phil. But – I think there's
really
the thing is there's five easy answers, and then okay, who plays with Phil?
Yeah, Really wish Ricky was in this thing.
That would be my answer.
Because
on
Ricky
it.
And Phil yep. in Southern
yep.
Cal.
Yep. That would be the answer if he was in the tournament.
Yeah, that'd be fun. But he's not in it.
He is not. Yeah, that you know the two guys that are the easiest answers aren't there.
Yeah, that's where I was getting hung up.
With Ricky or Tiger, neither one of those are there. So you know who do you fire home? Maybe for because you kind of need a villain. I feel like those other five are not real villainous. You know.
Yeah.
You know, you might not like this one or that one, but you're not just going to be flat out rooting against somebody of those five. I got one that you would be. How about Ian Poulter thrown in the mix? Mr. Ryder Cup. Mr. Can't stand him with his eyes get bugged out and he's ready to make every putt to break your heart.
Yeah.
How about if we throw a little bit of a curveball in there with Ian Poulter and have him as somebody that everybody can get behind rooting against? No, Colin Montgomery's not around anymore, so you don't really have that guy. Still looking down. I think that's maybe that's where I would end up with Poulter. I think we probably all get behind rooting against one of those amateurs from Texas, though, right? Cole Hammer or Pearson Cootie.
Well, talking matchups. Oh, help me out, Texas golfers. Help me out with Texas golfers and their name. Spieth. Isn't Spieth good friends with Zalatoris?
Yeah, they were young, growing up together.
Wouldn't that be a fun story to see them together?
Yeah, Spieth, Scottie Scheffler played. I mean, they all played together. I wonder if that is Dylan Fratelli in this tournament. He always seems to kind of pop up in some of these events when you're like, who is that guy? Oh, yeah, he played at Texas. Yeah, there he is, Dylan Fratelli. Yeah, I think I'm going to settle in with Poulter. Spieth's always fun, though. Spieth and Rory, if you want to take Phil out and feel like he's not going to be really in the mix.
Yeah.
Spieth and Rory would be fun. JT and Rory would be fun. But those guys have been so disappointing, it seems like, especially Rory. And this will be the time that he blows everybody away because I didn't pick him. I pick Rory every single time in our picks, and he blows it. And then here he'll go. Bubba with Phil, two lefties on the text line.
Yeah, where's Bubba been lately?
Probably whining about something with his fake golf ball. It's the reason why he can't win. He's playing with a putt-putt ball like he'd get out here. That's going to be fun. What about the fight? Let's get to the fight. Did you see this still about the fight?
I read about it. Yeah.
So the Austin Daly was 31 years old. He's trying to money qualify into the Korn Ferry Tour. And then the Smith and his dad was the caddy playing alongside. Daly hit a couple of bad shots, looking for his ball, slowing him down. He pops off to the dad on number, I think it was 6 green. Like, hey, if you guys come help me look for my ball and maybe grab the flagstick every once in a while, we could catch up. And then the dad gets back at him, which causes the kid to find. And they were going at it. And Smith is a college player still, 20 years old.
Yeah, somewhere in Tennessee.
Tennessee Martin.
Martin, okay.
So they come to blows. The dad pulls the putter out of the bag to keep the third member of the group from breaking it up. And eventually, Smith gets Daly on the ground and makes him say uncle before he get off.
Was this a Christmas story? Say uncle!
It's almost too good to be true. But this is coming from the third member of the group telling the story. Yeah, he's got him pinned to the ground, arms like locked. And making him say uncle before he get off.
Is this what we're going for now? Is this like a new hybrid sport where we got UFC and golf?
I don't know. The best news about that day was, as I said, Quade Cummins qualified. And oh, by the way, he has teed off on the back nine and has gone birdie, birdie. So the first two holes as a professional in a tournament for Quade Cummins were two birdies. So he's two under, tied for sixth. Some guy named Kevin Doherty is four under. So is Sean O'Hare on the Corn Ferry Tour up in Wichita. Might be a good day trip on Sunday if he's in contention. And in contention, that's not that far. Drive up and come back.
Go for it.
Go support Quade Cummins. That'd be cool.
Wichita's a lovely town. I got a friend up there.
Awesome. U.S. Net. Open. We're back to 10:15. The marine layer is being stubborn.
10:15. By the way, my California contact has not replied, which tells me he's still asleep.
Probably still asleep.
Yeah, he's a kid.
Thanks a lot, kid.
Thanks a lot, kid.
Breaking news, Jared. You have breaking news.
Yeah, does Wyatt play Madden?
Maybe.
Does he play Madden? They released the latest cover for Madden 22, and it has Tom Brady and Mr. Patrick Mahomes on the cover. It's the first pair of Madden cover athletes since Larry Fitzgerald and Troy Polamalu. I say that right. I always mess that up.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's a very uninspired cover, in my opinion. They're just sitting there looking at you. No action shot. No helmets on. Nothing like that. It's just sitting on a bench looking at you. Did you play Madden? Have you ever? Did you ever get into the Madden craze?
Not really. I was more of the... I always like to play Tecmo Bowl.
Tecmo Bowl.
Yep. Old school.
I went from Tecmo Bowl to Madden, and then it was NCAA football.
Yeah, I played some of that too.
And then when that went away, I tried to recapture that magic with Madden. Wasn't really there, and then I had kids.
It's kind of hard to, I don't know. It feels kind of weird to still call it Madden. Is his voice still on there?
No.
Well, that's good.
I don't know who they use anymore. I know at one point they used Chris Collinsworth.
And Al Michaels.
I think Al Michaels. I think it switches up all the time. You know, and I've seen it. I mean, I've seen other people play it. I mean, the looks cool. I heard a lot of people complain about last year's edition. So that you guys didn't really try. You just took the previous version, added a couple of things, updated the rosters, and gave it back.
That was it.
And it was it.
You know, at one point in time, there was the Madden curse.
Yeah, there was.
It's kind of gone away.
I think that's been broke.
Yeah, think about this. The last four. So last year it was Lamar Jackson. He had the seventh best QBR, won a playoff game. Year before was Pat Mahomes, and then he turned out to be the Super Bowl MVP. Year before is Antonio Brown. He had 15 receiving touchdowns.
Well, let's pump the brakes. Okay.
I mean, led the NFL.
I know what you're saying.
Led the NFL. I mean,
led the NFL
best receiver
that season, but yeah. Where
well, I mean, it's always the deal was the year that you do it, something bad happens.
Right. An injury or
right.
Something bad or just a horrible season.
Right.
Yeah.
And he clearly didn't have that. Tom Brady was the MVP in 2017. 2012, Calvin Johnson, single season record for receiving yardage, almost 2,000 yards. 2014, Richard Sherman, first-team All-Pro. And then 2015, OBJ, 13 receiving touchdowns, made the Pro Bowl. Not quite the Sports Illustrated curse.
I think the Madden curse may be broken.
Is
that official now?
Or has it saved up its venom, and is the Madden curse going to be what takes down Tom Brady and not Father Time?
Well, you can't say it's going to take down Tom without taking down Mahomes here because he's on the cover too.
Maybe it just has enough for one.
To just focus
and it chooses the old man.
On Tom.
Or maybe Tom Brady has such a great deal with Father Time and the Madden curse that he's coaxed Mahomes into being co-cover boy so that Mahomes' season could get derailed in some way, shape, or form.
Is this still a thing for athletes to want to don the cover of this? Do they want to? Is it something
Gosh,
like
you'd
they
think so.
Man, I want to have a great season, so I can get my extension and be on the cover of Madden.
I know this. I don't know the answer to that question, but I do know this. Once this comes out, they gripe and moan about their ratings all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They pay attention to that.
They're clearly involved in playing it.
Sure they are.
Now, whether or not they want to be on the cover, I don't know. But they will gripe and moan all season long about what their rating was on Madden. And even reference it when they do something good and say, well, see, that's why I told you I wasn't a 68 speed. I should have been 75 or whatever it is. Yeah.
Here's a great question. It might be worth a topic for tomorrow. Who do you think potentially could be on next year's cover of Madden?
Oh, I think that one's an easy one.
Who?
I mean an easy one. And I hope it happens, because that would mean the season was good, and that would mean Mondays with Jim would be a lot more fun.
You're talking one Baker Mayfield?
That's exactly what I'm thinking of.
He has another great season.
That's who I'm thinking of. Realistically, I think you could see, depending on, I mean, obviously it depends on what happens this year and need to have a good year, Josh Allen would be a guy. Does he have cachet enough to be that, though?
Yeah, would you recognize Josh Allen at the mall?
Yeah, probably not. You know who I think that EA Sports would love for it to be?
Who's that?
To sell the most games?
Trevor Lawrence?
Nope.
Who's that?
Dak Prescott.
I about went there.
The quarterback of the Cowboys, Dak Prescott.
Oh, Tim Tebow.
Hey, by the way, reports out of Jacksonville, there may be some people looking pretty stupid for hammering this move. People are saying he looks really, really good.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard he put on a lot of muscle weight to play that position.
Early reports are fabulous so far for Tebow.
Yeah.
How good an athlete does he turn out to be if he can not play for 10 years in football or whatever it was?
Hey, I'd come back and be
a tight end in the NFL.
I'll eat a lot of crow. I will.
Man.
I'll admit it.
I root for it.
Yeah.
Go, Timmy, go.
Yeah.
Go, Timmy, go. It'll be Jerry before Dak. Well, maybe. Couldn't you see, like, it being Dak? And one of those pictures from, like, down low where he's standing, he looks huge. And then, like, off to the side on the horizon, you see Jerry's face or something.
I could see Jerry being on the cover if they win the Super Bowl. It'd be the first time an owner and general manager graces the cover.
Don't do it, Jerry. It'd be the end of you.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cow. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Wow.